Welcome back to Midday on WNYC. I'm Kai Wright. Earlier in the show, we talked about the mounting pressure Facebook is under to account for the way it handles user data. CEO Mark Zuckerberg is on the Hill again today answering lawmaker questions. And they're voicing the concerns that more and more people share, worries about what personal information Facebook has been collecting. But those concerns are part of a broader suite of issues that users have been raising for years. Some of you will recall the My Name Is campaign. This was a few years ago, which challenged Facebook's policies, forcing people to use their official government names on profiles. My next guests were part of that campaign and have been among those now leading the conversation about privacy on the platform. And I will be using their chosen names for this segment. Lil Miss Hot Mess is a drag queen artist and activist. And Dottie Lux is creator of Red Hot's Burlesque, a queer burlesque and cabaret. Recently, they co-wrote a piece about their campaign for Wired magazine. It's titled Facebook's Hate Speech Policies Censor Marginalized Users. And Lil Miss Hot Mess has written another piece in which the title speaks for itself, A Drag Queen's Guide to Protecting Your Privacy on Facebook by Breaking the Rules. I'm pleased to welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
So let's start from the beginning of your troubles with Facebook. Talk about when you first heard about Facebook requiring people to use their real names. Dottie, you want to start us off?
Sure. This was about 4 years ago, and it happened all at once to a slew of people in the performance community, and it seemed to have been done by other users reporting us, and then the violation being noticed by Facebook for their policies, and then either deactivating accounts or forcing people to change their names. Mm.
So the people, Facebook found out you were violating the policy, as it were, because people were reporting it. And then, what happened next? That's when the deletings happened, Lil Miss Hot Mess?
Yeah, well, so we realized that this was actually, in many cases, a form of cyberbullying. We never actually proved it because Facebook wouldn't give us this information. But we suspected that it was probably one person or a small group of people who were targeting drag queens, either out of homophobia or transphobia, or maybe because they just didn't like drag queens or they were jealous of us or something like that. But it really happened quite quickly. A bunch of us all banded together and decided to sort of start this protest and start this movement against it.
And that's what became My Name Is.
Correct.
That's what came about. So tell us about that campaign quickly. What did it do?
Well, the My Name Is campaign, we really were rallying against the policy and also the way in which the policy itself was being implemented. We were saying that not only drag queens, but also, all queer and trans people, Native Americans, survivors of domestic violence, all these different communities that were affected by this policy should have a right to represent themselves authentically and in ways that took into account their concerns for safety and privacy. So originally we planned a protest and then basically ended up having several meetings with leadership of Facebook where they made certain promises and agreed to certain changes, some of which we've seen over the past 4 years and some of which we're still waiting for.
And Dottie, implicit in that, there is this started off as a thing that you guys were talking about in terms of gender identity and performance names, but then you found that there were huge swaths of people who had similar concerns.
Absolutely. I mean, these concerns kind of mirror what we see Facebook going through today. And for me, is very much about the policing and regulating over information for the purposes of using it.
Mm-hmm. And what do you feel like you learned from this campaign? First off, what was the result of the campaign, Dottie?
Well, I think we saw a lot of what the world continues to see, which is apologies and promises and not very much result after that. Mm. I don't know if it's because of ignorance or lack of trying or just like a true tactic is to not do anything for as long as possible. And I feel like that is what My Name Is campaign has been on the receiving end of. And we are watching that unfold in bigger ways.
That's interesting because, you know, earlier in the show, we had Felix Salmon, a writer for Wired, on making the same case that Mark Zuckerberg has been on an apology tour for 14 years now, but action never seems to follow. You're nodding your head, little Miss Hotness.
Exactly. And I mean, if you think about the roots of the platform when it was created in this myth of his dorm room or whatever, it was created, its first instantiation was him scraping photos of women so that he could decide whether they were hot or not in a more, you know, technological fashion. And he's apologized for that, and he's apologized, you know, for countless privacy.
That is history that is lost in this conversation often. This was initially a data scrape, first off,
right,
for the purpose of objectifying women.
Right. And so, I mean, in some ways, it's like, we've all just been duped for the past 14 years. We've all bought into this thing, sort of wanting to see it for, you know, its pluses and the things that it can do for us. But at the end of the day, what it really has been all along is a way of collecting data and using it to benefit certain people and not others.
So fast forward to today, as you're both doing, Little Miss Hot Mess, you have written an article, yes, as we said, A Drag Queen's Guide to Protecting Your Privacy on Facebook by Breaking the Rules. You list several tips that we should be following. Let's try to walk through some of those together. The first is to, in fact, not use your real name.
Exactly. A lot of people have asked me, I guess, in this moment of you know, Russian hacking and manipulation of user data, if I regret the work that we've been doing with the My Name Is campaign. And the answer is absolutely not. I mean, I think now more than ever, it's important for users to take a greater sense of control and autonomy over not only their data, but also how they're presenting themselves online. And so in this context, given that it's so easy for Facebook to correlate our activity with our sort of real life legal identities, I think that we should make it just a teeny bit harder for them by changing our names, whether that's, you know, using your middle name instead of your first name or coming up with your own drag name. It's just one small layer that folks can do or can add to sort of keep a little bit more control over who they are.
But Dottie, is this complicated at all? Because also, I mean, I think of the sort of anonymity online as the start of a lot of bad stuff. A lot of cyberbullying starts with people being anonymous. I think of, you know, the Russian trolls. How do we think about this in terms of encouraging the idea that people would be anonymous versus us being able to say, no, I know who you are with your behavior? What do you think of how do we thread that needle, Dottie?
I think that's kind of a guise and the thing that people hide behind in order to say, you know, we will be much more likely to see cyberbullying if we are not being authentic in our names. And I think that there is a difference between authentic identity and a legal name, right? Mm-hmm. So my authentic identity is Dottie Lux. I do not file taxes under that name, but, you know, that is who I actually am. And the truth of the matter is that most of the cyberbullying that I encounter happens just no matter what someone's name they're using. You know, no matter what name they're using, they feel a power behind the screen at a keyboard, and it is anonymous in that way. For me, the cyberbullying that I'm experiencing is a lot more along the lines of using the tools and policy against certain marginalized groups of people. For example, tons of people of color that I know have had their posts flagged when talking about their own race, when talking about their own experiences dealing with racial issues. For me, that's where the bullying comes into play. You have people who want to use the tools, and they can do that anonymously, no matter what their identity is. Because when you report someone else's post, it's not attached to your name. No one is seeing it. It's not attached to your profile. It happens anonymously.
I'm speaking with Dottie Lux, creator of Red Hot's Burlesque in San Francisco, and Little Miss Hot Mess, a drag queen artist and activist, about their work on helping us all navigate Facebook more safely and with more rights. So back to your list of tips of what we can do. Another thing you say is overwhelm it with information, right? Is that
exactly?
Explain that.
Well, so that both comes sort of from drag queens. I mean, as drag queens, we're all about exaggeration, about putting on too much makeup, too many clothes, going over the top. But there's also sort of a lot of thought within tech communities and new media theory around obfuscation, which is this idea that rather than trying to hide information or hide who we are, another way to sort of protect our privacy is to send out so much information that it sort of confuses what's real and what's not real. And that's another thing that I think is really exciting about drag, is like drag always is sort of playing with these ideas of what's real, what's not real, what's concealed, what do we know, even if it doesn't look like what we think it is. So in the case of Facebook, I mean, this could mean anything from liking every post that you see or choosing randomly, you know, the kind of reaction that you give to a post. It could mean liking pages or celebrities or brands that aren't things that you actually would like in real life, to sort of throw Facebook's trackers off the scent a little bit.
Well, in a literal sense, what are you doing there? If you like everything, what have I done in a literal sense to protect myself?
If you like everything, then Facebook doesn't know the things that you actually like, right? I mean, it doesn't know that, you know, I'm however old, that I, you know, go to this school, that I work at this job, that I, you know, watch these TV shows, that I buy these products. It sort of hides that real information in this, you know, plethora of likes, right, that just become this sea of information.
Because as we talked about earlier in the show, the whole business model is around hyper-targeting, coming up with user profiles so that you can sell that user profile in a hyper-targeted way. So you can't target it if you don't behave in a targeted way.
Exactly.
Got it. And so what about, you know, when you guys heard of the Cambridge Analytica breach, with all of this background, all of the thought you've had on this, you've been in this fight for some time. What did you think? Were you like, oh my God, this is unprecedented. What was your initial reaction, Dottie?
I have to tell you, none of this is surprising. I have folks saying, oh, you know, thank you for all the work that you're doing, and doesn't it feel great that, you know, now it's being seen kind of the issues are being seen on a wider platform. And sure, it could be a little bit of an I told you so moment, but really the truth of the matter is that Facebook, if I've learned anything about dealing with them over these past 4 years, is that they do not care. They do not care about the users, and they do not care about the user experience, because they do not know about diverse experiences. Their experiences are so narrowed, and their team is so narrowed, that they can't possibly care about people that they don't count or consider. I hope that answers your question.
It does, but then what about the flip side of this? You know, we there are so many people who think of this as such a powerful tool, you know, even in organizing and community building and many of the things that I think that you both would support and want to do. Why Little Miss Hot Mess is this not, why shouldn't we be worried about losing that power that this tool offers?
I mean, I think we need to be careful. It does offer an enormous amount of power in terms of the ways that we communicate with each other, the way that we find resources for a number of people. It's part of our livelihoods, right? I mean, as performers, Dottie and I both have used Facebook to book gigs and to promote shows and do things that are sort of beyond just like building quote unquote community, which is why I think we worked for so long to try to work with Facebook, to try to get them to amend this policy, to keep people on it. I mean, that was one of the things that I've struggled with these past 4 years, is sort of why be on a platform that doesn't seem to want me as who I am, right? But I did it not because I think drag queens should have a voice, but because I think all these other users, you know, trans people, trans youth, Native Americans, domestic violence survivors should be able to use this platform to connect with one another and to organize. But I think what we're seeing right now, and I think it's good that this company is being, you know, taken to task and is sort of potentially facing regulations, because I think that that's what we need. We need not just government regulations, but we really need users to understand sort of what our own investments are in the platform and how we can pressure the company to do better, or to think about what the alternatives are at this point. I mean, there aren't that many alternatives, but I think we're in a moment where we can dream.
Friends before Facebook was launched. I did have friends and community and life. I managed to find information. I still saw baby pictures. And I often wonder if we're having the wrong conversation altogether, is whether or not all of that activity is it appropriate for a commercial space anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe we've just tipped a little too far to one side, right? I mean, I actually quit Facebook last week. Partly, I mean, it wasn't really about the Cambridge Analytica drama. It was actually because I realized that I just keep getting these same requests from people who are trying to fix their names. And if Facebook can't fix this one relatively small issue that affects, you know, a community of vulnerable users, then why should we expect it to sort of deal with this huge problem? And so, I mean, for me, I just felt like I wanted a break. I felt like we need a bit of a collective reset. But I mean, I do think that we need to hold it accountable because people are going to continue to use it and to find value in it.
Daddy, are you still on? Are you still on Facebook?
I am still on Facebook, and I wish I could find time to not be on Facebook. In fact, I am on Facebook Live right now. my point is that I wish we didn't need this platform, but it is a utility at this point. We have so much of our older population, Little Miss Hot Mess and myself receive these notifications all the time. There's so much of the older population that just assume their friends have died if they can no longer find them because of their name. And it is a way that people communicate with each other the same way that they, you know, like I said, like a utility, like a phone service. And, you know, it's hard because we pay for phone service. We don't pay for Facebook.
We also regulate. Sorry, go ahead.
It's also regulated, yes. And I think that there's, you know, a part of us that are thinking, okay, maybe if we paid for Facebook, we would be more protected and be able to use it more freely ourselves. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is that it then becomes, it's just another cycle of people who have money have access.
Right.
And that doesn't feel right, you know. But we're also seeing, again, once again, people are continuing to be bullied on this platform. So I really applaud Mess, and I wish I could find a way to cut the cord. It's one of my goals, 2018. I've managed to cut the Amazon cord. I'm working on Facebook as well.
Well, all right. We'll see how many people follow in behind. I'm Kai Wright. I've been speaking with Lil Miss Hot Mess, a drag queen, artist, and activist, and Dottie Lux, creator of Red Hot's Burlesque in San Francisco. Thank both of you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Kai.